We're holding on Nun Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We've been talking about the dinim of making a mincha chametz, where we've established so far that that not only the first person who does a maisa that makes it chametz is chayav malchus, but so is each person who does an action afterwards. For example, we said kneading and shaping and basting and baking and all that. And we talked about, on the other hand, and we talked about the comparison and contrast with different other dinim where something already where something has already been done. The iser is there of chiyuv of malchus for a person who does the same thing again. We said that by mechametz acha mechametz in connection with the mincha there is. We said mesaras acha mesaras, if someone castrated an animal and then someone else went came and did another similar pa'ula to it, then he's also chayuv. And we talked about though what about when a bechor has a mum, then we had the different opinions about it based on drashas psukim. In the end, we said one way of looking at it is because it says kol mum lo yaboy, the mayor holds. It says kol mum lo yaboy. That means even if it already has a mum, then you can't make another one. Whereas the chacham held, since it says tamim yilrotzen, only when it's a tamim. But on the other hand, you can't kol mum lo yaboy. We said that you can't, for example, cause indirectly that it's going to have a mum by, for example, putting dough on the animal's ear so a dog will bite it off, because it says mum and it says oma mum, oma kol mum. So it says, could have said mum and instead it said kol mum, and therefore we learn from that that you can't do anything even indirectly to cause a mum. So now getting back to the matter of menachas and chametz, omer abasi, omer abamin, hiniach sa'or al gabi isa. If a person just put a piece of sourdough on top of the dough of a mincha, v'holach v'yoshav lo, and then he just went and sat on the side and didn't do anything else, v'nischam tamei aleha, and it became chametz on its own, chayev aleha, he will be chayev for it, even though, as Tosfos points out, the pasuk says lo se'ofer, lo se'ofer, which suggests active things, but this is also considered loisa also because he put the chametz there, he put the psa'ur there in the first place. So he's going to be chayav kemaisa Shabbos, just like doing something on Shabbos, just like, for example, putting meat on coals, as the Gemara is going to discuss next, or, for example, putting bread in the oven or whatever, then the person is chayav. So the same way over here. Tosfos points out, even though, for example, this putting the sourdough on top of the dough is not really going to actually make it full fledged. It's going to make it chametz, of course, to the extent it's chametz on Pesach, let's say, but it's not going to really be that it becomes proper chametz. Only the side where the seor is on, and even it is going to even be affected, and even that not that much. Nevertheless, Rabbi Ami says he's still going to be chayiv. So the Gemara asks, "Ma'ase Shabbos k'hai gavna mi'chayev? Are you telling me that a person would in fact be chayev by a parallel thing when it comes to Shabbos? Meaning, in other words, as the Gemara is going to go point out over here, that in the same way. Now, for example, Tosfos points out, you put bread in the oven. Yes, if you just leave it there, it is going to get thoroughly baked, and therefore, of course, it'll be chayev. But we're going to give an example now involving meat on coals, where not necessarily is it going to get fully roasted, and in fact, he's not necessarily chayev in that case. So, if a person put meat on top of coals, then if he turned it over so that it gets fully cooked, or as we're going to talk about soon, how fully is fully, then he'll be chayev for the malacha of cooking on Shabbos, but if he didn't turn it over, potter, then he'll be potter. So by the same token over here, why should he be chayav just for putting the sa'ur? Mele if he went and mixed in the sourdough, then he should be chayav, but not just by putting it on the face of it, not just by putting it on there. So the answer is Omar Rava, my chayiv nami dekama kamaisa tzlisha al Shabbos. Fine, you know what? What Rav Ami means is in other words, that he'll be placed on that yes, he'll be chayiv for just placing the sa'ur on there. Whereas with Shabbos, he will in fact have to turn it over on the coals in order to make it thoroughly cook. So in other words, Rashi is understanding that when it comes to the mincha, when it comes to making it chametz, it's enough to just put the sa'ur And that will be enough. Eventually, the whole thing will become sourdough, as opposed to putting it on the coals, where he does have to turn it over in order to cook it. On the other hand, Stern Kodshin points out Tosfos would disagree with that and say that in fact also when it comes to putting the sourdough on the mincha, he'll be chayav only if he actually mixed it in or turned it over or did something to make, because again, otherwise just the part where you put the sa'ur itself is not going to become very much chametz and the rest of it won't at all. So according to Tosfos, it means it will be exactly the same as putting meat on coals on Shabbos. You have to turn it over. In order to be chayav, according to Rashi, there would be a distinction by the sourdough. It's enough to just put it there, but when it comes to the meat and the coals, he has to actually turn it over. Well, the Gemara says, well, let's talk about that point. So Rabbeinu Gershom also says the expression, for example, he says if you put a spit of meat in the oven on Shabbos, even if you don't turn it over, then a person's going to be chayim because it's going to cook on its own, the same way when it comes to the dough. But here the Gemara is putting it on top of coals and saying that you have to turn it over. So the Gemara says, gufo. Okay, so let's get into that point. Omer Rav Labachon, Omer Biechanan. Hiniach boser agabi b'cholim. If you put meat on coals on Shabbos, hipich boi, if you turn it over, chayev, then he's going to be chayev for cooking on Shabbos. Loi hipich boi, if he didn't turn it over, potter, then he will be potter. Now there is a point, by the way, there is a point the Gemara elsewhere talks about that another reason for him to be chayev anyway, even aside from the question of cooking, is because putting something on coals puts some of them out, and therefore we have a malacha mechaber. But here the Gemara is not focusing on that, for a couple of reasons, either because it's a malacha shen etzuricha l'gufa, because he's not intending for it, and it's not necessarily going to happen, or it's even considered misasik, that he's not even really just, he's not even doing anything deliberately to do such a thing. So we're focusing over here on the cooking. So we're saying if he didn't turn it over, then it would be potter. Then he'd be potter. Well, the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what's the scenario? If it's a scenario where if he didn't turn it over, it wouldn't cook, it wouldn't roast, pshita. Well, then of course he's potter because he didn't roast it. If you're talking about that even if he hadn't turned it over, it would have cooked, it would have roasted, amai lemi chayev. Why shouldn't he be chayev? Just for putting it down then. And the answer is, like Sricha, the chiddush is, the case that Rabbi Labachana has to tell us is, the case would be, had he not turned it over, only one side would get cooked, and only to the extent of Michael Ben Jerusoi. The famous Michael Ben Jerusoi, where Ben Jerusoi was a famous, an infamous robber who was always on the run, so therefore he would never cook his food fully because he's always in a hurry, so he would cook it only partially. Rashi understands in various places in Shas, Rashi over here and in other places in Shas understands that it means one third cooked, that Amam holds it means one half cooked. So now, one side would have cooked to the extent of Michael Ben Jerusoi, v'chimahapich bay, and now when he turned it over, boshel b'shneitzdon into Michael Ben Jerusoi. Now both sides are able to get roasted to the extent of Michael Ben Jerusoi. But from Hashmolon, said Rabbi Yechon, I want you to know, to call mitzad echad, to Michael Ben Jerusoi, to just roast it on one side to the extent of Michael Ben Jerusoi, loy klumhu is not considered anything significant. Because when you cook only one side of the meat, it's not really cooked. You can't eat it at that point. So if only one side was done to Michael Ben Jerusoi, then he would be potter. An interesting point in this connection is, how does this relate to halachas of putting things on the fire or back on the fire, as the case may be, on Shabbos? The various dinim that you have as far as putting things on or close to the oven. So the Avnei Nezer points out that, I mean, you also have a concept, chatzi shir, also minatora. You're not allowed to do an incomplete shir minatora either. But what we're saying is, minatora, it wouldn't be considered bishul at all. So it wouldn't even be considered chatzi ishur, chatzi shir. He uses the word potter, midrabanan, because you don't want him to, because if he puts it down there and he starts this process, he may forget that it's Shabbos and turn it over and then actually be chayav for bishul. On the other hand, Reb Shlomo Zalman talks about that maybe not, maybe it is considered chatzi shir. A nafkamina would be, for example, let's say, for example, you put, so the Avnei Nezer talks about, let's say, for example, you take, You take, for example, hot water from a clear dish and rinse meat in it, so then nothing of it is getting cooked to any extent, to the most that it can ever become, is Michael Bender's story, the outside. So then the Avnei Nezer says maybe it should actually be mutter. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman says maybe not. In any case, so Rav Yochanan wants you to know, therefore, that's the point. Only when he turned it over, would he chayev, when he didn't turn it over, and we're talking about it would only get cooked only on one side, to Michael Bender Rasoi, then he's potter. Omar Rava, but Rava points out, but if one kegregeres, which is a kegregeres is the size of a dried fig, which is in general in Hilchos Shabbos, that's considered the minimum shear for any malacha involving food. So if a kegregeres in one place got roasted on one side in one place, chayev, then he's going to be chayev even if he didn't turn it over. Tosfos points out that we would have to vote both Rashi and Tosfos points out we mean sriya gemura, here we mean complete roast, that's completely roasted in that one area of a kegregeres, not even more than Michael ben Drusoy. If it was just Michael ben Drusoy and it was only one side, then as we just said, he'd be potter. But now we're saying that it was completely roasted, at least the kegregeres in one place, then in fact he would be chayev. Chiddushim am yachasim la Rashba points out, the chiddush of it is that Rava wants you to know only if that happens exclusively in one place. Not, for example, you have a little bit here and a little bit there. We're going to have soon. We're going to have in another minute a second lashon in what Rava says, that in fact in that case he's chayev. So according to the first lashon, the chiddush is that no, only when it's in one solid place. So why are you telling me that if it's only in one place, then he's chayev, but if it's in two or three places, if it's a little bit here and a little bit there, and altogether the fully roasted parts add up to gregeris, you're gonna say he's potter? Why? V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos in connection with the different malacha. Hakegeach kol shehu chayev, if a person drills a hole, even the smallest hole, then he's chayev. Now again, you have to ask Kefi Dami, what's the scenario? Elaim of Makam Echad, do you mean that he just made one hole, one tiny hole, kosher l'mayachazi? What would a tiny little hole be useful for? In general, to be chayav from Malacha and Shabbos, it has to be that you accomplish something useful. But a tiny hole by itself wouldn't be useful. Elalad b'shnayim l'shloshim makomis t'chazu l'tziruf. Evidently, we have to be talking about where he made two or three separate holes, and now, even though each one of them is tiny, but you could now combine them together. It actually points out that carpenters sometimes will do that. If they need a large hole, I'm not saying they don't have a drill bit that's big enough, They'll make a couple of smaller holes next to one another, and then they'll combine them together, and then they'll drill a hole or their saw or whatever between them to combine them all into one big hole. So we see that little tiny holes are going to combine together. You have separate ones, and you can combine them all together into one big hole. So the same way, by roasting, why should it be that if we have the kegregeres is made up of a couple of different places, all of which amount to one kegregeres, why indeed should he be potter? Rebelva Brisker points out, I mean, on the face of it, how is it the same thing? The fact is, here it is all roasted, he just has to put it together, as opposed to over there, the individual holes don't really mean anything unless he combines them with the other holes. But okay, anyway, the point is that the point is, why should he be potter if it's in different places? So the answer is no. In fact, when it comes to drilling a hole, he would be chayev even if he only drilled one tiny hole. You're going to ask, what do you do with one tiny hole? You could use it for the place to put in a key. Keys in those times had a sharp end, and then you put them into a hole and use it to open or close the box or whatever it is that the key is for. So therefore, even a tiny hole does have a use for that purpose. So it's not a matter of you make a bunch of tiny holes and connect them together. Any individual one hole by itself is significant, as opposed to when it comes to cooking, where you do in fact need an entire kegregeres in order to be chayev. So therefore, we still need it to be in one place. And otherwise, the fact that it's considered chaticho kriva, Tosfos points out, you still have to cut out the individual parts that have gotten roasted and bring them all together. So that's not enough to be mechayev him, according to this first lashon of Rava. So the Gemara says, the others say a different version of what Rava said, Omer Rava, afilu b'shnayim v'shloshim mekayimus. That in fact, he would be chayev, even if the kugeres was in a bunch of different places, he would still be chayev, it would all combine together, and he would be chayev. So the difference is, in other words, that now, for example, Tosfos and Shabbos points out that, for example, you have a din if a person writes one letter on one wall of a house and then a different letter on a different wall, then he would be potter because then you can't put them together. The only way if you're going to start cutting apart the walls and putting them together, whereas over here it's normal to cut up meat, and therefore according to the second lashon, Rava would not be bothered by the fact that it's in different places. Nevertheless, the person would be fired. So in this second version, Ravina says to Ravashi, Achanan Namitanena. Well, in fact, that seems to fit well with what we learn in the Mishnah. Hakadeya kol shul chayev, a person makes even a tiny hole, his chayev, because heishigami, because what would be the scenario? Ilema b'makam echad, if he made this one little tiny hole, kol shul l'may chazi, what would he use one small hole for? Elalab b'shnayim v'shloshim v'koyim v'chazi l'tziruk. It must be that it means that he made two or three holes, and now he's going to attach them together and make one big hole. And so we see that even a malacha, which is capable of now being joined to something larger, is enough to be mechayev him. And so the same thing over here, when he has the gugeris made up of several different places in the meat, would be enough to be mechayev him. And the answer is, Lord, that's not necessarily a proof. Lord, the makamacha, the Mishnah could in fact be saying that just for the drilling, the one tiny hole is chayev, dechazel, above a dakli, because again, you could use it as an entry point for a key, because the end of the key is sharp, and it will fit into that, and it will fit into that little hole, and therefore that is in fact enough to be mechayiv. No proof, though, when you have something which by itself is not really, where each part by itself is not useful, and only by combining them together does it become useful, namely over here, by combining together the two or three places to make a kugeres, would it be a shiur of Shabbos? Maybe not necessarily. However, the Gemara has not slogged up Rava. We just said we can't bring a proof for him from that Mishnah. The usual rule is the poskim usually paskin when you have two lashonis in the Gemara, two different versions of what an Amora said. Generally, we follow the second one, and so it is over here also. And therefore, if a person puts meat on coals or otherwise does any malacha of cooking, and it causes the kugeres to be cooked, even if it's made up of different parts that now have to be cut out of the rest of the raw meat and put together, nevertheless, he would in fact be fired. Okay, so all of that was a little bit of a digression by way of, again, we talked about when a person puts s'or onto a mincha, and we compared and contrasted that with putting meat on coals on Shabbos. So now getting back to the matter of making a mincha chametz, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa. Now the pasuk goes like this: the pasuk about not making a mincha chametz. Kol mincha ashetakrihu l'Hashem, any mincha that you offer to Hashem, loisa also chametz, should not be made chametz. Ki chol se'or, and then the pasuk continues because you're not allowed to offer any se'or and dvash. So let's focus on that first half of the pasuk. Ilu nema ashetakrihu l'Hashem loisa also chametz. If it just said what you offer to Hashem should not be made chametz, if it not said the words kol hamincha harisi omer, then he would have said ein li'ela b'loise osa chametz ela komitz bilvav. Then you would think that what applies to where the issue of loise osa chametz would apply only to the komitz, because the komitz is asher takriv ul Hashem, that's what you offer to Hashem. Mincha minayin, how do we know that if he makes the mincha as a whole chametz, then he's chayev, even though the whole thing is not being offered to Hashem? Tosfos points out, now before we learned from the fact that it says loisa ofer chametz chelkam, Rish Lakish should point it out that the pasuk says you should not don't bake chametz their portion, where the word chelkam we're taking and applying to that first half of the pasuk and learning that it means that their portion should not be made chametz. But Tosfos points out that would only refer to the shirayim after the kmitza, because then it's their portion, then it belongs to the kohen. But at this point we're talking about before the chametz was taken. Then how would we know that he's chayev also at that point for making the mincha chametz? So the answer is Talmud Lama Mincha, therefore the pasuk says Mincha. Now, this pasuk, Kol Mincha Shetakruva Lashem Moisa Osa Chometz, is in connection with a Mincha Svav Cheshes, the Mincha that we're going to talk about later on in this Perek, which is fried in a deep pan. So that kind, then he's chayev. We know shah menachas minayin. How do we know the same thing applies to other menachas? Tamadlam kol hamincha. That is why the pasuk says kol hamincha. Now, when it says asher takrivu l'Hashem, so now when it says kol hamincha means any mincha. So then, and we're saying even before you took the kohen. So then, why does it say asher takrivu l'Hashem? Ksheda v'lo psula. From that we learn that it applies only to a mincha that is kosher, not one that is posel. Tosfos, by the way, points out that there are different tanoim in different places in Shas who do or don't douse in the word kol in such contexts. But here it's very clear the word kol hamincha is meant to add something, so it adds any mincha besides the minchas mafeshes. But how do we know that it means? But on the other hand, asher tekruv l'Hashem means only if it's kosher, not if it's kosher, not if it's posel. Two ways of learning that. It can be because it says Lashem, and a mincha that's posel is not brought Lashem, or the other way is because it says kol ha-mincha. Mikan omru, based on this, the Chum said, I'm chametz is a ksheira chayev, that's a psula potter. If a person were to make a kosher mincha chametz, then he would be chayev. But if he makes a posel mincha chametz, then he's potter. Now, this is as far as before the koimitz was taken. As far as the shirayim, it doesn't matter, of course, because the shirayim weren't going to be offered as a korban anyway, so they are, the issue of making them chametz is going to apply regardless, as Sfasemis points out. Okay. So now the Gemara says, boi rapapa. So the papa has a question in this connection. Chimsa, what if he made the mincha chametz, the yotzas, and then it was taken out of the azara? Now, at the point it's taken out of the azara, at that point, it becomes posel. In general, we've learned before that kodshe kodshim, when they're taken out of the azara, become posel. So now, if he took it out because of a chimtza, and then he made it chometz, namely Rashi says he baked it. So he finished making it chometz by baking it. Mahu, would he be chayev for that baking? Now we've learned before, a person is chayev for baking a mincha that's chometz, but maybe it's different over here because it was taken out of the azara in between. And Rashi also points out, maybe you could also say that, the question is, kibin the yotzas if sila levi yotze, you could say once it was taken out of the azora, it became posel by being taken out. So now if he makes it chametz, if he bakes it, for example, he should not be chayev for machametz acha machametz, because we said it's because it's posel, and we just established that when a person is machametz and mincha that's posel, then he's potter. Or duma, kibin the chimtz posel, or maybe you could say once he made it chometz and it became posel, once it became chometz because of posel, yotze l'mahani le. Maybe the fact that it's taken out of the azara is not really effective on it, because at this point it doesn't really have, Rashi explains, it doesn't really have its full kedusha anymore. So in other words, we would say we would ignore the fact that it's taken out of the azara, because that would only apply to a fully kosher mincha, and at this point it's already posel, by virtue of having become chametz, and therefore we would ignore the yotze part, the chihodim chametzla, and then when he, if he makes it chometz, then he will be chayev for a second time making it chometz, because we would ignore the yotze and just focus on the fact that it's chometz, and now he made it chometz again. So in other words, the idea is Rashi is saying, in effect, understanding the Gemara as saying that once the thing is already posel, maybe a different soul can no longer, the soul of Yotze can't apply to it anymore. There is quite a bit of discussion among Achronim about this point. There's the Turei Evan, the Shagas Aryeh, points out that we learned in Zvochin, for example, we had, let's say, for example, a Kohen was a Baal Mum, and then they is still able to get a portion of the Korbanos, but if he becomes Tomei, then he doesn't. So now the Gemara says over there that basically when he's a Baal Mum and then he becomes Tomei, he does get a portion, he is Cholik B'Kodshim, because he was a Baal Mum and he was Posel and he got a portion anyway, so the fact that he's Tomei doesn't change the status. So over here, the Torah Evan points out that the Gemara should have asked the Gemara should have asked the same thing, that once the mincha we should say, we should apply the same logic and say that that the issue of making it chametz again should apply, even though it became even because of yotzeh. And then he talks about that, and there are different achronim talk about different angles on it. About that the Rav Velva Brisker talks about that first of all the yotzeh would apply to it, but nevertheless you still wouldn't consider it. As far as chimutz, it's not considered a mincha psula because the first psula was because of chametz, and therefore that doesn't exempt him from doing doing chametz again. And then the Kovet Zaharis talks about there's a difference between the balmum and the chametz. It's of course it is a posel of mincha because it was taken out of the azara. So maybe though the fact is, but the Gemara's question is on the one hand it's already posel anyway for a different reason because of yotzeh, or maybe the fact that it has a second psul on top of that is different as opposed to a balmum where the tumah doesn't change anything in the status as it is. You can't bring the korbanos anyway. And there's quite a bit of discussion about that point. Anyway, so that's the question. So Gemara says teiku, so it's left unresolved. So in short, in other words, if a person were to do that, then he wouldn't be saying you can't be mechayiv and malchus because of the you can't be mechayiv and malchus because the Gemara has left it as a suffix. Okay. Another similar question. Suppose he took the koimetz and brought it to the top of the mizbeach, and then he made it chometz over there. Mahu, now would he be chayiv for making it chometz? Would we say Asher Takrivu Omer Rachmana? The Torah had said only that what you're going to offer cannot be made from it. The whole Akriva, at this point, he's already offered it because he's already brought it to the top of the Mizbeach. It's true, it still needs to be burnt, but maybe we would say that once it's on top of the Mizbeach, basically the question is going to be the fact that there still has to be done a Maisa of burning it. Is that considered something that it has to yet be done? Of course, it has to be burnt. But would we say that at this point that we would already consider that he's already brought it to the Mizbeach and there's no significant Maisa yet that's missing? Or maybe we would say the fact that it's still lacking, that it hasn't been burnt yet, it's considered that a mice is missing, and therefore he's still, and therefore he'd still be chayav. And again, the Gemara says teiku, so teiku on that as well, and for the same reason that Amman Paskin, that he can't get, that he won't get malchus, for the same reason because of the suffix. The Gemara goes on. So those were two questions that emerged from what we just said in the Braisa, that number one, it has to be that there's an Isra, Asher Takrivu LaHashem, a mincha that you're going to offer to Hashem. So the question is, so that brings a second question, whether when you brought it to the Mizbeach, it's considered you already offered it, and then that it can't be a mincha psula, which brought about that first question, what if it was Yotze in between? But now getting back to the Braisa a minute, the Hashtag Naftalim, we call a mincha. If you're telling me that we're looting anyway from kol ha-mincha, that any mincha, whether you took the koimetz yet or not, then you can't make it chametz. Asher takrivu la-shem lamali. Then what are we learning from the words asher takrivu la-shem, which implies that only the koimetz. There's different yerusolos over here, whether you have the word la-shem over here. Is the Gemara bothered by the words asher takrivu, or is it bothered by the word, or is it bothered by the word la-shem? Because after all, we said Hashem before we learned that it applies only to a mincha that's kosher, not one that's posel. But again, we said another possibility was that we're learning from the hay of kol ham mincha, and in that case, the question would be: if we're learning from that that only a mincha that's kosher and not one that's posel, then the question is: what are we doing with the rest of the words with the word kol and the word mincha? The question is, Tosfos says, we just said before that if he makes a chometz on top of the mizbeach, he might be potter, or at least after most of it burns. So of course we need the words asher takrivu for that, Tosfos asks. Anyway, so what are we doing with those words? If ultimately we're learning from kol, from if we're learning from kol ha-mincha, then what are we learning from asher takrivu la-shem? So I said it wrongly just a minute ago. If we have the words kol ha-mincha, from which we learn that it applies to any mincha and that it applies to the both before and after k'mitzah, but once we do that, then what are we doing with the words asher takrivu or asher takrivu la-shem, which implies that it applies only to something which is to a mincha which is kosher. So fine, again, you know, like we said before, we have two different ways of learning what the limud is, either from the word la-shem or from the hey of ha-mincha. So if we say we learn from la-shem, then the question is on the words asher takrivu. It could have said kol ha-mincha, la-shem, lo sakrivu, lo sa'as ha-chametz. And if you say that we learn from the hey of ha-mincha, then the question is that it could have said that we don't need the words asher takrivu la-shem at all, because what are they teaching us? So the answer is mibarla l'chidatanya. We use that to learn what we learn in a braisa. Asher takrivu l'rabas minchas nesachim l'chimut. That teaches us that also the minchas nesachim that are brought together with other korbanos, also if a person makes some chametz, he's also chayev. Now the pasuk that loisak rivu chomet, loisak also chomet, this pasuk that we've been analyzing this whole time is talking. Rashi points out is talking only about menachas where the shirayim are eaten. So we wouldn't know from it that it applies also to minchas nesachim, where the whole thing is burnt. So now we need a separate pasuk to tell us that it applies to minchas nesachim as well. So it comes to teach us that the minchas nesachim, if a person makes a chometz, also he would be chayev. Tosfos brings from Rashi a different pirush that minchas nesachim. The difference is they don't have oil. They have oil. They have oil, but a different amount of oil, and they don't have lavoina like a regular mincha. So you would think that maybe they have different rules, and therefore the Torah needs to tell us that they have the same rules. And then there's also, of course, the minchas nesachim. Tosfos points out is not an independent thing. It comes together with a different korban. So you would think maybe different dinim apply. So no, we need to be told asher takrivu applies to those as well. Rabbi Yisag Levi, that's what Rabbi Yisag Levi says. Rabbi Akiva omer l'rabbis lechem aponim l'chimitz. Rabbi Akiva says it comes to add also that the lechem aponim also, even though there's no part of the lechem aponim that goes on the mizbeach, you take only the levoina that goes with the lechem aponim and put that on the mizbeach, nevertheless, a person would be chayev for making that chometz as well. Rashi points out that each of them would also hold. We don't learn the other one. Rabbi Yosef really would say we wouldn't say that he gets malchus for making a lechem aponim chometz, because he holds that. Because he holds those are measured only with a dry measure. And those were not eskadish. So according to him, the lachem aponim becomes the lachem. According to him, the lachem aponim before it's baked is not yet kodesh. Only when it's placed on the shulchan does it get kodesh leguf. And by that time, it's too late to make a chometz. So therefore, Rabbi Yisrael really would hold that he's potter. In fact, if he makes the lachem aponim chometz. Meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva would hold that the minchas nesachim he wouldn't get malchus. Said Rabbi Akiva would say, because he would hold that he would disagree. Rashi explains that Rabbi Akiva would disagree with something that we said earlier in the parak, that you can mix them with water. He would hold the minchas nesachim is mixed only with oil, and flour and oil can't possibly become chametz anyway. So each one of them would in fact disagree with the other one in terms of what, so it's not just, in other words, each of them is learning from the pasuk a different thing, but they would agree with each other. We're saying that each of them would actually disagree with one another about if he makes one of these things, the minchas nesachim or the lachem aponim chametz, would he in fact be chayav malchus at all? In any case, each of them is learning from the words asher takrivu. So the Gemara says minchas nesachim may perish him. But what do you mean with the minchas nesachim? How is it possible to make it chometz anyway? It's only made perish. It's only flour is mixed with oil. Which Tosfos points out. Now we learned a few days ago that menachas are often mixed with water as well. But the difference is most menachas you have relatively little oil. You have one isor in a flour, and then you have one lug of oil. Now you think about it, an isorin is a shiul chala, somewhere between 3 and 5 pounds, depending on what the different poskim say about a shiul chala. An isorin, a lug of oil, is only about a pint, give or take. So you don't have very much oil to the flour. So if you're going to be making it into, if you're going to be kneading it and making it into a dough, of necessity, you're going to have to put in some water. And water plus maypeiros can, in fact, make chametz. But when it comes to a minchas nesachim, Tosfos points out, you have more oil proportionally. As we learned previously, you have, depending on the type of minchas nesachim, you have two or three logim of oil for each yisod and a flour, and therefore it's much more possible to just mix it and make a dough of it with only that, without using water at all, and therefore the question is how could it become chametz? May peris and machmitzin. May peris, the fruit juice without water, are not able to make a chametz. Now here's where you have a big machlokas. Tosfos said discussed it a few blocks ago, and then different rishonim talk about always saying that may peris by themselves cannot make chametz, but with water. But with water they could. Or do we mean that may peris can't make chametz at all? This is very negeya as far as Pesach, as far as the question of if you have dough that's made only with juice, is it possible for it to become chametz? We talked about the other day. Also, we added something called chametz nuksha, like incomplete chametz. We said Rashi and said nuksha comes from a word that means weak. And Rabbi Gershom had said that it comes from a word meaning hard. Either way, it's like not really completely suitable to eat. So is that considered as chometz nuksha, considered like full fledged chometz? That's also negeya as far as this question of mei peiros, because what the Gemara is saying over here, that mei peiros ein machmitzin, does that mean only mei peiros by themselves, or does it mean even with water? There's a huge amount of discussion among achronim and various details of that, and maybe the Gemara is talking about it here only according to one opinion, maybe only according to the mayor. Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Sochem says that chometz nuksha would be also medirabanan, and then if it was water and made peiros, then it would be chometz gomer, and there's a lot of discussion about the ins and outs of that. L'maisa, on Pesach, we hold, l'maisa, the poskim paskin, that fruit juice by itself can make a certain kind of chometz. It can make what's called chometz nuksha, but that would still be also at least dirabanan, and if there's even a drop of water in it, then it actually makes it chometz daraisa. So in any case, when the Gemara says over here, made peiros and machmitzin, either according to the different possibilities, it will mean made peiros by themselves can't make chometz, but with water it'll make only chometz nuksha. And then another way of looking at it is that without water it'll make chometz nuksha, and with water it'll make a chometz gomer. The final halacha is like that second possibility. But anyway, so getting back to the Gemara over here, the Gemara is asking that the minchas nesachim, you have made peiros. According to one possibility, we mean only made peiros and no water. Again, as Tosfos says, it would be possible since you have enough oil mixed with the flour that conceivably you could make a dough out of it without having to add water. Or the other possibility, the Gemara means, is maybe with water added. Anyway, the answer is Amar Shlokish, Oymahoyer, Rabbi Sagrili. Because in fact, Rabbi Yisrael really holds minchas nesachim, megabla b'mayim, or ksheira. Because the minchas nesachim, you can knead it with water, and it's perfectly kosher. So once you have water in there, then it's able to become chametz. Either, again, you have the different possibilities. We mean that you have enough water that everybody would agree it can become chametz. We don't just mean a drop of water. Or we mean that even a drop of water would make it chametz nuksha, maybe, and that would be enough for it to be considered chametz. So Rabbi Yisrael really would say that then if a person does actually do that and allows it to become chametz, then he's going to be chayiv. Whereas meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva would hold that you don't do that. Now, the next thing, lacham upon him, we said that Rabbi Akiva says that he would be chayiv if he makes lacham upon him chametz. The question is, midas yavashi. Lacham upon him are measured, the flour for them is measured using one of the dry measuring cups in the Bais Mikdash. Later in the Masechta, when we talk about the measuring utensils that there were in the Bais Mikdash, we're going to talk about that according to Rabbi Akiva, those measures that we use for dry things were not neskadish. So the lacham upon him becomes kodesh only when you put it on the shulchan, and at that point it's too late to make it chametz. Now, the Gemara is going to ask further down on the Amud that on the face of it, you do have to, you have to make it, you have to make it into dough, of course. So that means there is liquid involved as well. So, so the Gemara will talk about that later. Anyway, so then, so according to Rabbi Akiva, how would it even be possible to make it chametz before it's baked? A factor that comes into this as well is also not just the bowl in which it's mixed, but also in which it's measured, but also the oven in which it's baked. So Tosfos points out that, even if you say that we're going to have machlokas later in the Masechta, whether the oven in which they bake the lachem aponim is considered a kli charis, if it is, then the din is it has kedushas aguf, but only when it reaches a stage of baking where it forms a crust. And Tosfos points out at that point that it can't become chametz either, which is relevant as far as matzos or pesach. Once they form a crust, then they can't become chametz anymore. So the question is, according to Rabbi Akiva, how is a person going to be chayav for making the lachem aponim chometz anyway? If he did it when the flour was measured, then it's still just a dry measure, and it doesn't yet have kedushas aguf. And if he did it later on, then it's too late to make it. The first place where it could conceivably become kodesh would be either in the oven or on the shulchan, and by then it's too late to do it. So the Gemara says, so the answer is, Shalach Rabbi Reuven, Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Reuven sent a message, or on the side it says here it's supposed to be Reuven, sent a message, Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan, Kach Yatzal Shal Mishnah. This is how you have to explain the Mishnah. The Brice that we just quoted. The Epoch, we have to flip around the opinions. Asher Chakrivu L'Rabbas Lachal Amponim L'Chimutz, Divi Rabbi Yisag Lili. Rabbi Yisag Lili is the one who says that and he makes the lachem aponim chometz, then he would be chayev. And fine, then, in other words, so then, Rabbi Yosef really will hold that the dry measures were also niskadish. So as soon as the flour was measured for the lachem aponim, it has kedushas aguf. Now at that point, if he makes it chometz, then he's going to be chayev for making a mincha chometz. Rabbi Akiva, and the Rabbis mincha tesachim b'chimutz, and Rabbi Akiva says, then it means that the minchas nisachim, that would have a person rechayev if he makes some chametz, and that would mean, in other words, now we're saying, Rabbi Akiva was not the one who said that you would put water in them, so nevertheless, then that means that, so it would come out then, according to that way of looking at it, that Rabbi Akiva would hold that even just flour and fruit juice, in this case oil by itself, would be enough to make it, to make it chametz, at least chametz nuksha, and therefore to be chayev for making a mincha chametz, and therefore that's also relevant to the halacha of Pesach. So we have to flip around the opinions, and then that way we say that, it fits with what we know from later in the Masechta. And the Gemara points out, "Va'azir Rabbi Yechonon l'taimei." Rabbi Yechonon, in saying that, is going according to his own svara. The Amr Rabbi Yechonon, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the Echad mitamidi Rabbi Shmuel, Amr Davar Echad. Rabbi Yechonon says that Rabbi Yosi Aglili, from the Braisa that we just quoted and flipped around the opinions, and one of the Talmudim of Rabbi Shmuel both said the same point. Umanu, and the Gemara interjects, who is that one Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel? Would be Rabbi Yoshia. They both explain the same point based on different svaras. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, when they finished making the Mishkan and set everything up, Vayim Shochem, Moshe anointed the Mishkan and all the Kalim, Vayim Kaddish Oysam, and he made them holy. Rabbi Yoshi says it's like this. When it comes to the measuring containers that are used in the measuring cups and things that are using in the, that are used in the Beis Hamikdash, Midas Halach, the ones that are used for measuring wet things, for measuring liquids, wine, oil, etc., Nimshach ben mifnin ben machutz, those were anointed on the inside and on the outside, which means, therefore, that both the inside and the outside have kedusha, which is going to be relevant, we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, that therefore, if the liquids spill over the side, they still have their kedusha, because they touched the outside of the container, and the outside of the container was also made holy. Midas Yavish, but, says Rabbi Yoshia, the dry measures, Nimshach Mimifnim, Nimshach Mimachotz, those were anointed only on the inside, not on the outside. Now, what we do see, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yosef really is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yoshia. So we see Rabbi Yoshia clearly says that the measures for dry things were anointed with Shemen HaMishcha and HaKadosha, but only on the inside. Therefore, that fits very well. Now that we flipped around the opinions of Rabbi Yosef Lili and Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa before, then we would say Rabbi Yosef Lili would be the one who says that the Lechem Aponim, a person really chayiv for making them chametz. Why? Because the flour for the Lechem Aponim is measured in a utensil that's used for dry things. And therefore, at that point, Kaktusha Zaguf. And therefore, at that point, from then on, if he makes the chametz, then he's going to be chayiv. So the Braisa continues. So that's Rabbi Yoshia's opinion. So again, according to Rabbi Yoshia, both of them were nimshach, but the liquid ones only both inside and out, and the ones for solids only on the inside. Rabbi Yonason says, no, midas halach nimshach mifnim ve'en nimshach v'chutz. The ones for liquids were anointed only on the inside and not on the outside. Midas yavash le nimshach kol ikker. The ones that were used for dry measures were not anointed at all, which we just said. Rabbi Akiva also says that later in the Masechta. And Rabbi Yonason says, teda l'cha, you can demonstrate it, that these ones for dry measures were not anointed, and therefore, in other words, when something is placed in them, it doesn't yet have kedushas aguf until something else is done with it later. Shadei in mekadshes, because he says precisely that. You see, they don't make the things that you place in them kodesh. Dichtiv, as we find in connection with the shtei alechem, mimoshvisechem taviu lechem tinufa, from your dwelling places in Eretz Yisrael, you should bring bread for waving, the shtei alechem that we learned about in the previous perek, and that we're going to learn more about them in the next perek as well. You should bring bread for the waving, the shtei alechem, shtayim, two loaves, shnei esroinim, made of two esroinim, each one is made of one esroin, solas tiyena, they should be made of fine flour, chometz tefena, they should be baked as chometz, bikurim lashem, and they are first fruits to Hashem, in the sense that we're going to learn later on that you're not supposed to use any of the new year's grain crop from an office before the shtei alechem is brought. Now, when it says bikurim lashem, and it says that after teafena, after they're baked, emasai heim lashem, at what point do they belong to Hashem? And they have to do that growth, la'achar shenefu, only after they're baked. Now, why? They had to measure out the yisrod and a flour for each one of them. So why shouldn't they have kedushas aguf as soon as they were placed in the kli sharis and measured? The reason must be, says Rabbi Yonason, because in fact those kli sharis were not in fact anointed, and therefore they're not mekadesh the flour that's placed in them. So the oven, Rashi points out, like we said before from Tosfos, the oven will, if we consider the oven a kli sharis, then the oven in the azara will be mekadesh then, but not just by measuring in the isarim. Whereas Rabbi Yoshia says Rashi will say that the words bikurim lashem are referring to before it's baked. That once it was measured, then already it's being designated as bikurim lashem. Anyway, so you see this machloikas of whether the dry measures were nimshach or not. And so we see that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yosef Lili say the same thing. So it comes out, therefore, Rabbi Yosef Lili must also hold that the dry measures were in fact nimshach, just like Rabbi Yoshia says in this braisa, and that would fit very well with him saying the lachem aponim, a person makes the lachem aponim chometz, namely after the flour was measured, then he would be chayev. That would fit very well with that. Okay, the Gemara says, "B'mayt from this, what's the underlying machlokas of Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yochanan?" The machlokas says, "How to douse in the word oisam." The pasuk is saying, "In parshas Nosay, by inshochim, by kaddish oisam." What does the word oisam mean? Oisam is a mute. So Rabbi Yoshia says, "Oisam." So Rabbi Yoshia says the oisam comes to tell us that it means that the ones for dry measures were not anointed on the outside. So they were anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, but the insides of them were anointed, but the outsides of them were not. Rashi and Tosfos point out that the context of the pasuk is talking about the kelim that are used for the mizbeach, which are used for liquids, because the kelim that are used for the mizbeach, the major ones, are the mizrakos, the bowls that are the basins that are used for the blood of the korban. So those are klei halach. So therefore, the pasuk is saying that Moshe anointed them, meaning Rabbi Yosef says he anointed them on inside and out. Meanwhile, the ones for dry things he also anointed, but only on the inside. As opposed to the midas yavesh that were not anointed on the outside. Rabbi Yonason holds no. The ones that are used for dry measure are completely chol. The pasuk doesn't need to give us a miut to tell us that he didn't anoint them because they don't have kedusha at all. Again, as we just said, Reb Yonason proves from his reading of the pasuk about the shelech and that the kelim for dry things are not makadosh at all. So therefore, Siva points to him. There's no reason for the pasuk to tell us that the dry ones weren't anointed. So what does the pasuk have to tell us? Has to give us a miut is for the ones for liquids that they weren't anointed on the outside. So they're both learning from the word oisam. But what is the word oisam exactly? What is the word oisam exactly being in that? So the Gemara says, "Lamer nami Rabbi Akiva ve'echem nitamidu Rabbi Shmuel amru davar achor manu Rabbi Yonason." Now, when Rabbi Yochanan had said that, Rabbi Yosi Agrivi and one of the Talmidim, namely Rabbi Yoshia, had said the same thing, why doesn't he say by the same token, Rabbi Akiva and one of the Talmidim, Rabbi Shmuel, namely Rabbi Yonason, said the same thing? Because it comes out now that Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Akiva both hold that the clay yavish were that the ones for dry things were not anointed. So why don't we mention that point as well? And the answer is Meshum Tlashov of Minas Lach Lahadoni. Because it's true, when it comes to the dry measures, they both agree. But when it comes to the liquid measures, they are in fact disagreeing. Because Rabbi Yonason would hold that as we just said, that the liquid ones were Nimshach only on the inside, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that they were in fact anointed on the outside as well, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta. So it comes out, in other words, they have three different opinions. You have Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yosef Agrivi, who are saying that all of them were Nimshach, the Midas say Lach on the outside and on the inside, the Midas say Yavash only on the inside. Then you have Rabbi Akiva saying the Midas Lach inside and outside, and the Midas say Yavash not at all. And then you have Rabbi Yonason, who says the Midas Lach only on the inside, and the Midas say Yavash not at all. So Rabbi Yochanan can't say that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yonason are saying the same thing, because they are saying the same thing when it comes to Midas HaYavish, but they're not saying the same thing when it comes to Midas HaLach. So the Gemara goes on, but what are you talking about? All this time we're talking about clay ayavish, clay alach, but you have the bowl in which you mix the mincha, and the mincha is flour and oil, and it's considered a kli shoris. So we see that. So when you're kneading the mincha in the bisa, which is a kli shoris, and it's used for liquid things, and that point to everybody was niskadish on the inside. So then in that case, what do we mean before that when you're kneading the mincha, it wouldn't yet be kaddish? So my answer is going to Losh Gabi Katadlia. Fine, you could be talking about Rabbi Akiva would be saying that there's no issue of making the lachem upon him from it, according to the Maskana, where we said that Rabbi Akiva is the one who said, or in the original version, it was Rabbi Akiva saying that Rabbi Akiva had said that there's an issue of making the lachem upon him from it, and the Maskana, we said only in Minchas Tisachin, he would hold there's no issue in making the lachem upon him from it. Why? The question is, you have to knead them, and aren't you kneading them in a bisa? The answer is, because we're talking about he didn't need them in a bisa, he needed them on a flat piece of leather, on a leather mat. So therefore he would say then there's no issur, because at that point you haven't put it in a kli shoris, and he holds that there's no issur yet in making it chametz. So Gemara says, Ihochi. Well, if so, if there's that difference, whether he did it in a kli shoris or not, what about when Rabbi Yonason is saying in the Braisim before, you can demonstrate that a kli shoris is not, that the clay hayavish are not makadish, because the posik is telling us, the shtei alechem are not, the posik is telling us, according to Rabbi Yonason's way of learning it, that they don't become kaddish until they're baked. Le malay, so why can't Rabbi Yoshia say that? Posik is talking about, because in the kaila, be sodin dechoil. We're talking about where he measured it, with an Isoran measure that's used for, that doesn't belong to the Beis HaMikdash. Because in other words, the same way as you can say, you can draw a distinction between where he kneaded the dough, the same way you can draw a distinction between where he measured the flour. The Gemara says, Hochi Hashta, how do you think to compare How do you think to compare those two things? Bishlan of Bisa, when it comes to a Bisa, like Kosar Rahman of the Abed Bisa, the Torah never said that you have to make a Bisa, that you have to make a kneading bowl in order to knead in. So therefore, there's no problem what you need in. So if instead you do it on a mat, less fun, well, then there's no problem. And it's true, then the lechem afanim, or the shtei lechem, won't be kaddish yet at that point, because you're not doing it in a kli charis. But the Torah is telling you, make a measure that holds an isorin and measure in it. Because the Torah tells us, where you have, the Torah tells us by all menachos that you have to have an isorin of flour, implying that you have to have a measuring cup to measure it in. Shavik isorin, the Kodesh, isorin, the Choyol. Would you expect that somebody would abandon, that a person would set aside the one that's used for Kodesh and then go measure the flour using one of Choyol? Not logical. Therefore, we have every right to assume that when the measuring is done, specifically is done in a keli that belongs to the Beis Nefesh, and then the question is, was that keli nimshach or not, according to the different opinions, and then that's going to affect the opinion, that's going to affect whether the flour became kodesh at that point or not, which in turn is going to drive the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Lili as to whether is it possible to be chayiv for making the lechem upon him from it. Would we say that yes, because it's measured in a keli that was nimshach at least on the inside, and therefore it has kedushas haguf? Or no, because according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say it was placed in a keli that was not at all nimshach, and therefore it doesn't yet have kedushas haguf. Only when it goes into the oven, and at that point, as we said before, it's too late to make a chametz. Okay. So that's the machlokas on that topic. Usually when we have a machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the other chachamim, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore that's how it is over here. That if he makes the minchas nisachim chametz, then he would in fact be chayev malchus. But as far as the lachem upon him, as we're saying, maybe not. The Rambam actually seems to have a bit of a different understanding of this Gemara and Paskins accordingly. With the result that actually he would be chayev if he makes the lachem upon him chametz as well.